apologize. Still quite a lot of changes and adjustments that we need to make. But hopefully everybody is adjusting well. Are you all okay? Everybody okay?
I think the other one also.
So, Pastor and the mission team, they are away at Hong Kong doing mission. So, yeah, please just keep them in your prayers and remember them. Today we will be looking at Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. So, if you have your Bibles, please open them up and it'll be good to follow on.
Okay.
Give us a few moments to get it.
Can I?
Okay, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 to 42. It's not on the screen, so if you have your Bibles open, that will be good. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Verse 40. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. And the one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So brothers and sisters, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peace is so elusive in our world today, right? Wouldn't it be something we as Christians, if we make contributions in, wouldn't that be great? Some of us would be eager to be that peacemaker, negotiating peace between those who are hostile, those who are enemies. What a way to live out our faith if we can be that positive impact to society. Wouldn't that make Christianity so attractive? What if Christians were the ones who negotiated peace between Israel and Gaza, or Ukraine and Russia? Wouldn't that be amazing? This is our expectation. We expect peace. We crave for peace. But what is the reality? I'm sure we all know the assassination of Charlie Kirk a few months back. We know that he identified himself as a conservative Christian. And while I don't agree with all his political views, his murder is still a murder, isn't it? What kind of a place must the world be for people to be saying he deserves it? And they justify his killing the same way as terrorists should be killed? What kind of a place is the world now? Perhaps because he happens to be a Christian, and the world hates it. But even more heart-wrenching is when your loved ones do that to you. So a famous pastor, which many of you would have heard of, he runs a successful ministry. He has a podcast series that answers all the difficult Christian questions. He loves his wife, he loves his children. In fact, he has 5 children, 1 adopted child. He worked hard to pastor his church faithfully. He taught in seminary, and through his sharing, all the podcasts that he does, you know he loves his family a lot. He wants to disciple them in the Lord. Until one day, his oldest son turns away from the faith. And today, he uses TikTok to bash the faith of his father. This is why he calls it bizarre, silly, weird, narrow-minded, anti-intellectual BS. This is of course my biggest fear for Elliot and Elisha. Not that they do miserably in life, or drop out of school, or even their health. No, my biggest fear is that they grow up they turn their backs on the Lord, turn their back on the faith that me and Hui Qi have. Where is the peace promised to Christians? Aren't we the peacemakers? Why are politics turning on us? Even family or children turning hostile towards us simply because we are Christians? Well, that's what today's passage is about. What should I expect for choosing Jesus above all else? You see, brothers and sisters, Matthew chapter 10 is all about Jesus' commission to the disciples. They are chosen to serve the Lord. And then Jesus covers different topics that they will face. They will face persecution. He's told, don't be anxious, I'll provide for you. So this is firstly to the apostles. Jesus sends them off specifically to the Jews. But he also anticipates a future where all of us, disciples, share in that. Beyond the Jews, Jesus predicts that, they will be dragged before governors and kings, they will bear witness before them, even the Gentiles, which is us. Matthew records what happens for the first disciples as a pattern for future disciples like us today. Okay, and so we come to point number one. Point number one, what should we expect from Jesus? Do not expect Jesus to bring peace. So for faithful Jews who were patiently waiting for the Messiah, right? They were expecting one who would bring them political peace, prosperity, even victory from all their enemies. Today, I say we are no different, right? Today we are no different. Some of us turn to religion to find inner peace and tranquility. And I'm not surprised some of us here might be promised things like, come to Jesus and you'll find peace from all the problems of the world. What is our expectation for choosing Jesus? Choosing the Prince of Peace. Well, Jesus himself says in verse 34, look with me to verse 34, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. What's going on? What's happening? What happened to the peace that I was promised? Okay, but before that, can anybody tell me how can this verse be misused? I've come to bring a sword to the earth. Any guesses? How can it be misused? Chloe, how can it be misused? War, okay. I use this. Everybody take up your sword. Jesus brings a sword, right? How dangerous this verse alone can be if Christian militants use it for their own agenda. Pastor has said it many times, a text without context is a con. You just improve texting, and if we want to do that, we can do that with any verse of the Bible. So we want to hear God's voice in its totality. Once we hear and understand what he's saying, then we commit the verse to memory. Okay, here we know what a sword means. Let's see, what does the sword mean? This is Jesus' explanation. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is the one holding the sword, not us. So his sword comes upon the closest relationships that we have on earth. Households will become enemies. And make no mistake, brothers and sisters, when the truth of God enters your life, and you grasp his love and his mercy and his grace, and decide to follow him, it will violently sever your closest relationships. Family members, we think blood is thicker than water, right? All of that will be no more. They will turn against those who choose Christ. See, family members will even betray Christians to their death. Some of you here from the older generations, you're first generation Christians, am I right? And maybe you understand, whether or not you're Chinese or Malay or Indian, whatever your family background, you might have experienced some form of opposition. For the Chinese at least, ancestral worship, it's a big thing. In fact, it's part of filial piety. Then there's also folk religion, we need to worship as a family. This Lorong Toa Payoh, Toa Pek Kong, Sembawang, Chai Sen Yen, so on and so forth. How can you follow this Western God? That's what my mother was told more than 30 years ago. We are Chinese. Stick to your tradition. Family was furious when she became Christian. This is very similar to the context of the Gentiles in Matthew's time. As part of family tradition, they would go for religious ceremonies together. It was their way of life. If I don't show up, that's disrespectful. I remember the different seasons where my uncle, he would lay out food like that. Lay out food for the ancestors or for the gods. And I put joss stick just to mark it out. Yeah. Or this would be a equivalent Hindu one. So just imagine, okay? Just imagine a loving grandparent. Grandparent comes along, comes to Elliot, and then he says, he doesn't know what's happening, he's just naive about everything. And then he brings the grandchild, hey, come help Ahong to put something on one of these. Bring the food, bring the joss sticks. And then you, as the Christian parent, you have to step in and say, pull your child aside, sheepishly apologize. Hey, no, my son cannot do this. Son is not going to help in this. See, some of these things, they're going to bring up painful memories of the past. For the younger ones, these are maybe some things that we cannot relate to. People are generally so respectful and open-minded today. But we need to hear this. We need to hear this. We need to continue hearing Jesus' warning. Because this present reality, this is a present reality for our fellow brothers and sisters in the world today. And someday it might become ours. Not so outright because of religion, but because we are not open-minded enough. Just across the border, as long as you are Malay, you are Muslim. So think about the sword Jesus brings to his sheep, our brother or sister there in Malaysia. Here's what our brother Abdul says. It's probably not his real name. Let me read it for us. Abdul, we are not free. We feel mistreated, and there is always persecution. Even when we meet together, we have to select a secure place. Even though it is difficult, I realize Jesus Christ sacrificed himself in great difficulties. I have gone to prison and Islamic rehab, been beaten, been prayed over, meaning the imams, the Muslim pray for him. Every time they do this, it's always Jesus Christ who delivers me. See, Abdul, our brother, was handed over to the authorities for his faith. But what about Ahmad? Ahmad says, when I first believed, I stayed hidden, I was afraid. I was warned people would expose me. I could not know who was truthful. We Muslim-born believers try not to meet each other. We need to be careful. Ahmad, he lived in constant fear of betrayal and exposure. And I'm sure this is the case for our Singaporean Malay-born brothers and sisters. So friends, think Jesus came to bring peace? Expect a sword. Tearing apart of households. For those of us second-gen Christians, how about over lunch later, talk with some of the older folks, the first-generation Christians, or even the younger ones, you have Shunmin, you have Shana, Shandira is not here. Talk to them, Mason also, talk to them, see what it was like when they became Christian, and you know the privilege that you have. Your family will become enemies. Why is that so? Why won't some of these Christians be accepted? We come to point number two. Because you must choose Jesus above life and family. See, if you had love and loyalty for your family, Now your love and loyalty to Jesus must exceed that way more. That's why there won't be peace. See, last time, you would use to sacrifice your time and energy to make it for every family function or event. You align with family traditions, you spend time with them. But now, Jesus calls us to do the same for Him. And not just that, we must exceed all of them. Love Him more than your own. Hear what Jesus says in verse 37. Verse 37 and 38. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. See the repetition? Not worthy of me. Not worthy of me. Not worthy of me. Why can I not have the best of both worlds? Why can I not love my family and Jesus equally? Because Jesus knows that just like money, family can become an idol. Family can become the object of our love more than Jesus. Think about it. Think about the ancient times, right? When family ties are foundational to social relationships. It might be they are everything socially. And for some of you, maybe you wouldn't find that in family. Maybe you find your social bonds through friendships, a group of friends or community you feel a sense of belonging to. The thing about secret societies, where their brotherhood is thicker than blood. Or perhaps it's your workplace or your interest group. There are many, many kinds of social belonging that we feel attached to. Give me a minute. Okay, thank you. Now it won't keep dropping. Whatever the case, where is your sense of belonging? Who is your closest family? Who do you feel that sense of attachment to? Jesus is saying, you must take up your cross and follow Him. You must love Him more than your closest family. Or you are not worthy of Him. So I personally am not a fan of K-dramas or romantic soap operas. But they do help us capture emotions well. Okay, so just imagine me for a moment. Two main characters, a guy and a girl, they fall deeply in love. And then on the screen you see their banter, their laughter, and their romance. But over years, the male lead, what happens? He develops a passion for something else. Maybe his work, he's working on a startup, or his business. Then one day the female lead, she says, "You no longer love me like you did. Your heart is with your job. You no longer love me like you did. Can we accept it?" Like our family and friends say that. If your closest family or community, they say those heartbreaking words to you, "You no longer love me like you did, because Jesus occupies your heart more than me." Are we prepared for that? The fact is, Jesus demands that space, right? That loyalty, above your brotherhood or above your community. As a Christian, we are still called to love our family, love our non-Christian friends. But our love for Jesus must exceed all of them. Right? Our love for Jesus must exceed all of them. Only then can we be considered worthy of Him. Brothers and sisters, this is a hard thing. But it makes the most sense. I think about the most brilliant people on earth. What do they know how to do? They know how to prioritize. They know how to cut through everything else. They know how to get to the heart. Everything else is secondary. Businesses, those of you who run businesses, you have to ruthlessly prioritize the one thing that brings in money, right? And then the rest of the things, okay, you keep it running only if you have spare cash. Think about the bee hoon store that we like opposite church. Think about it. people come to the bee hoon store to eat bee hoon, right? He might sell nasi lemak, he might sell mee rebus, he might sell mee siam. But what if one day, not enough supplies? But the only thing that he should pick is bee hoon. Just cook bee hoon, just cook chicken wing. Just tell people, hey, everything else sold out for the day. That's what priorities mean. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. But more than a business decision, the decision is for life. That is Him. We need to choose Him. So cling to Jesus, cling to Him with both hands, prioritize Him above everything else. Or you risk losing everything if you choose both. The one who only loves Jesus as much as his father or his mother or his son or daughter, he is not worthy of Him. Let those words sink in. Jesus sums up His teaching this way: whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The social cost of following Jesus is going to be steep. We cannot love anything more than Him. Whoever your family is here on earth, where you find your social belonging, your inner community, Jesus says you must love me more than that. But those who lose their life for His sake, you will find it. Brothers and sisters, today the question for us is, where do our loyalties lie? Are they equally spread out a bit here, a bit there? I love Jesus, but I also love my family or my community. Or is there one above everything else? But take heart, brothers and sisters, as we stand firm, as we choose Him above all else, there is hope for us. And point number three, yet those who receive you will be rewarded. Let me read those heartwarming verses for us. Whoever receives you, receives me, and whoever receives me, receives Him who sent me. See what Jesus is saying, our Lord. There's a chance. There's an opportunity for your friends, your family, those who initially oppose you. They can receive you. And in doing so, they don't just receive God the Son. They receive God the Heavenly Father. And receiving, it cannot just mean treating you well as a guest. And the Bible is clear, those who don't believe in Christ, they will be judged. There is no reward for them. So receiving here means, if you look back at a few verses, you'll see that receiving means listening to you and receiving your faith, accepting it for themselves. If they receive you, they receive God the Heavenly Father, creator of the universe Himself. And more than that, they can also be rewarded, can share the reward with us. Take a look at verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. See, the point is not about what kind of reward we will get or they will get. The point is that if our non-Christian family member or friend receives you and I on the basis of our faith because he is a disciple, they will get the same reward as us. See, what a privilege, what an assurance this is for me. Just imagine our Muslim background brother or sister in Malaysia, one who chose Jesus above his family, who lost his entire life or his social circle for the sake of Jesus. Whenever someone receives him, whenever someone receives his faith, God rewards that person. You must be thinking, oh, I've lost so much, but through me, they can get the reward. Oh, how great. I'm the only disciple in the family that they might ever get a chance to get in touch with. If they receive me, they will receive a reward just like me. And that's my reason, that's my hope. That's the hope of Ahmad and Abdul. That's the hope for us also. So what does this mean for us today? Okay, 3 points. Brothers and sisters, fellow followers of Jesus, Jesus needs to set our expectations right today. Expect hostility for choosing Him above anyone else. Yes, we are going to get peace with God. That tranquil feeling that you feel when you believe in Jesus is there because we are in a right relationship with God. His wrath is no longer upon us. But that does not mean we get peace with the world. Don't expect our decision to follow Jesus to get any easier. First generation Christians, those of you who have been through that hostility, keep going. It's not going to be over yet. Be an inspiration to the rest of us and don't give in to choosing Jesus above all else. For the rest of us, for all of us in fact, a day might still come when friends or family will ask you to choose between them or Jesus. Who will we choose? For me, I fear that day when some of my closest non-Christian friends, they ask me to help out with their wedding, officiate their wedding, especially if it's with a Christian fiancé. Why would they need my help? Because the other pastors will probably not do it. Will I choose my closest friends? Or will I choose Jesus? And such a day might come for you. Family, relatives, friends, pushing the boundaries and limits of, for example, our alcohol tolerance. Maybe they entice us to skip church a day or two. But the person asks, hey, just skip cell group lah. You don't see each other on Sunday anyway. Come and hang out with us. Another pressing one. The passing away of loved ones is going to test where our allegiances are. That aunt who loved you since young, can you imagine her saying, wow, can't you just, out of respect for Abba, do this one last thing, give her this last offering? What will we do? Brothers and sisters, we have to remember, Jesus gave His life for my sake. He was hated for my sake. He was God, but He gave up His rightful status to endure rejection, to bear the wrath of God Himself. All for us. And therefore I must love Him above all else. I must love His body, which includes the church. I cannot compromise on my love for Him and the people that He chose. My priorities have changed. My family has changed. It's Christ and His body, the church. And that is going to cause a lot of friction. The people around me, they will feel it. Why are you always with followers of Jesus? Can't you give it just a miss this once? Why not just relax for us? Why be ready for the peace to be broken? Our brothers, Ahmad and Abdul, they will probably share this gospel with their friends because they love them. And there's a very high likelihood of betrayal. Prison, they're going to be thrown in prison again. They might have to go through Islamic rehab again, be prayed over again. See, they expect the sword, not peace. Recall the pastor just now was telling us about the son who turned away from faith, calling it narrow-minded and silly. Some of you will know who he is. He is John Piper. John Piper was berated by his firstborn son on TikTok. And he makes a name for himself doing that. Family turning against family. Fellow followers of our Lord Jesus, we do not expect peace. But work for those who will receive you and share in that reward. Friends, there is great, great comfort in choosing Jesus above all. Because there are those who, because of the fact that you are a disciple, will receive Jesus also. And there is before them the same reward that you and I are going to get. Your relatives, and friends, they may see and they may turn to the Creator God through you, God's chosen little one. My mother till this day, her family has not turned to Christ. It is still a prayer for ours. But in the past, when dissuaded, don't follow this Western religion, we are Chinese. When she goes back, she faces the disappointed faces, the scornful looks, for at least 2 years after she made that choice. It was this that kept her firm through all those hostility. I just want the abundant life in Christ. She chose Jesus above family tradition. And there is still hope. There is still hope. Perhaps one day, they might receive her, they might embrace her faith, and therefore share in this same reward. Brothers and sisters, this is not a promise. God doesn't say they will definitely receive her faith. But there's a possibility. It's a possibility for God to use her. And that would be such an immense privilege. So this morning, will we choose Jesus above our own lives? Will we put ourselves in positions such that people can see our faith and share this same reward as us? Let me close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts higher than ours. We are merely your creation, but you show us deep love through your Son Jesus, and through his words today. How awesome it is, Lord, that you speak to us afresh daily. You do not keep us guessing, you keep revealing. Lord, we are grateful for your words of warning,